Welcome to Torah Timecha, Nach Yomi, with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Pessy Bussell Novik, and today we are studying the first chapter of Sefer Micha. Sefer Micha is sixth in the books of Toyasar, which is a compendium of 12 Sefer Nevuah. These volumes are quite short, and they were bound together in a single volume so that none would get lost. Micha is sixth of these volumes. Micha was one of four prophets who were contemporaries. The others were Hoshea, Yeshayahu, and Amos. Of these, Micha was last to begin prophesying, and his is the shortest book, with a total of 105 psukim, verses, divided into seven prakim, chapters. According to Dat Mikra, a commentary on Tanakh published by Mosad Hav Kook, the content of Micha's prophecies may be grouped as follows. Prakim 1 through 3, rebuke and the consequences of sinning. Prakim 4 through 6, verses 1 through 5, consolation. Prakim 6, verse 6 until the end, ethics and reflection. Our parak may be divided as follows. Psukim Aleph Bet, verses 1 and 2, a brief introduction to the book. Psukim Gimel and Dalet, 3 and 4, Hashem's revelation when he comes to enact retribution upon the people. Pasuk Hey, the sins of Jerusalem and Samaria, Shomron. Psukim Vav through Zion, 6 and 7, the fate of Shomron. Pasuk Het, 8 until the end, the fate of Yerushalayim and its surrounding cities. Before we approach the actual text, a few words about Divrei Nevuah in general, both content and style. The Navi's task was to deliver a message from Hashem, a message that would rebuke the people and inform them of events to come, good or bad, thereby demonstrating Hashem's providence, that is, his orchestration of world events, so that people will appreciate God's greatness and thereby be reminded to act in accordance with his will. However, gentle listener, bear in mind that in those days the access to writing materials was quite limited. Memory was the domain of the brain and could not be relegated to so much as a notepad, the kind made of paper. How then to make a lasting impression on the target audience? What was a prophet to do? In order to accomplish this goal, it was necessary for Nevi'im to articulate their visions in language that was memorable. One might say that the Nevi'im were compelled to speak in sound bites, phrases that the audience might carry away and repeat to their peers. Think of this as an early incarnation of today's advertising slogans, sort of a just do it for the sandals set. To this end, the Nevi'im would employ figurative language, rich in metaphors and similes. All aspects of a Navi's oration, including meter and cadences, were designed to convey Hashem's messages in a memorable way. Likewise, the Nevi'im made good use of such literary devices as alliteration, assonance, and consonants. We are told by Rambam and the Barbanel, every Navi must have a distinctive style, but not everyone who has a distinctive style is a Navi. Let me stress that we revere the words of the Navi. Their visions are far more exalted than mere poetry. Nevertheless, it would be wrong to ignore the eloquence of the Nevi'im. After all, picturesque language was part and parcel of the Navi's calling. As we turn to the text, please note that I aim for clarity in my translations. That is to say, I do not offer a word-for-word translation. However, when, as often happens, the plain meaning of the text is less than obvious, I will refer you to the source of my translation and or the method to my madness. Pasuk Aleph, verse 1, introduces our speaker. Dvar Hashem asher haya el Micha ha-morashti b'meyotam achaz Yechizkiyahu malchei Yehuda asher chaza al Shomron v'Yerushalayim. These are the words of Hashem, as they were told to Micha of the city of Moreshet, in the time of Kings Yotam, Ahaz, and Yechizkiyahu, words that he prophesied regarding Shomron, Samaria, capital of Malchut Yisrael, the northern empire of the ten tribes, and Yerushalayim, Jerusalem, capital of the Malchut Yehuda, the southern kingdom, a dynasty that was led by the descendants of David HaMelech. In Micha's day, both kingdoms suffered spiritually, politically, and economically. This was more the case in the north than in the south. For one, having abandoned the Davidic dynasty and with it the Beit Mikdash, Malchut Yisrael lacked an unrefuted center for their spiritual needs. Thus they began to bring sacrifices on bamot, altars that were set up on high places. This is a practice strictly forbidden by Torah law. As it turned out, these Bamot, along with the treaties that were signed with pagan nations, were a gateway to idolatry in the Northern Kingdom and to its ultimate end. Additionally, having broken away from the Davidic dynasty, Malchut Yisrael lacked a stable seat of government. Rarely was there a peaceful transfer of power from one king to the next. And as the empire weakened, its government was in a constant state of coup d'etat. Aspiring usurpers sought alliances with other nations in order to support their campaigns. These alliances came about in return for promises of fealty and copious taxation. The new rulers would pass their expenses on to the populace, who grew more discontent and impoverished with each passing year, which led to the next seizure of state, and the one after that. You get the picture. What is more, the political unrest wrought havoc with the nation's spiritual status. At the time, theocracies were de rigueur, and hence the treaties that were signed with the pagan nations included an immutable cause. Now, you've heard the phrase, love me, love my dog. In those days, it was love my military power, love my god, or rather gods. This was all fine and good for polytheistic nations who were always happy to add new gods to their pantheons. But for those who acknowledge daily that Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, not so much. In Pasuk Bet, Micha identifies his audience, calling them as witnesses and asking that they listen carefully to his words. Shim'u amim kulam, hakshivi eretz umloa, vihi Hashem Elokim bachem le'ed, Hashem mehechal kodesho. Listen, all nations, pay close attention, O earth, and all that lies therein. Furthermore, let Hashem Elokim be among you as witness, Hashem, who bears witness from his holy sanctuary above. Often, a Navi would rebuke Bnei Israel in the presence of witnesses, lest the Bnei Israel claim that they had not been warned. Here, Micha calls forth the following Edim, witnesses, all of mankind, the rest of creation, and finally, Hashem himself in all his glory. Next, we come to the content of this prophecy. In Psukim Gimel Dalet, verses 3 and 4, Micha uses personification to foretell God's metaphoric descent to the earth in order to enact retribution upon his people who have sinned grievously against him. Micha says, Ki hine Hashem yotze mimkomo, v'yarad v'darach al vamutei aretz. V'namasu heharim tachtav v'amakim itbakau kadonak mipnei ha'esh, kimayim, mugarim b'morad. For behold, Hashem comes forth from his place, that is, from his sanctuary. He shall descend and trample upon the bamot, the high places. The word bamot, again, may allude to the aforementioned altars that people built on high places, as was common practice among the pagans and was expressly forbidden by the Torah law. Micha continues in this, the fourth pasuk, and the mountains shall dissolve beneath him, the valleys will split, and the land will melt like wax before a fire, like water that cascades down a slope. Now, according to the plainest meaning of the text, the Navi seems to predict an earthquake that will transpire on God's day of judgment. Micha's contemporaries prophesied similarly about a judgment day, referring either to the near future, that is, the exile of both kingdoms, or to the eventual last days before the coming of Mashiach. Alternatively, perhaps the Navi is speaking figuratively. His high places may allude to people in high positions of wealth and power, those who think too highly of themselves, legends in their own minds, one might say. The valleys, in turn, would refer to people of low wealth and stature. They too have sinned and will be brought to justice. So which is it, Micha? The exile in the near future or the eventual redemption? The answer, gentle listener, is yes. Know that the words of the prophet are always subject to interpretation. Why, you may ask, are Hashem's people worthy of such punishment? Micha answers in Pasuk He, verse 5. V'fesha Yaakov kol zot, uv'chatot bet Yisrael. Mi pesha Yaakov, halo Shomron, umi bamot Yudah, halo Yerushalayim. All this is in response to the sins of Yaakov, that is, the northern kingdom, as well as the sins in the southern kingdom. By the northern kingdom, Micha says, to whom may I be referring other than Shomron, Samaria? By the bamot Yehudah, the high places of Yehudah, To whom might I refer other than Yerushalayim? Micha puts the blame for corruption squarely in the hands of the leaders, those who dwell in the capital cities of the respective kingdoms. It is they who dictate society's mores, setting patterns that are emulated by the general public, enabling corruption at all levels of society. Per the ancient aphorism, the fish begins to rot at the head. Verses 6 and 7 describe in detail the forthcoming raising of Shomron, capital of the Northern Empire. Micha says, V'samti Shomron le'i hasadeh, le'matae charem, v'igarti lagai avaneha, v'sodeha agaleh, v'chol psileha yukatu, v'chol etnaneha yisarfuva esh, v'chol atzabeha asim shmama, ki me'etnan zona kibatza, v'ad etnan zona yashuvu. I shall make of Shomron a pile of rubble in the field, a site suited only for planting a vineyard. Think you take paradise and put up a parking lot. I shall drag her great stones into the valley, tearing down her edifices until the very foundations are laid bare. And all of her idols will be beaten into pieces, all her gifts shall be burned with fire, and all her icons I shall destroy, for indeed, her wealth consists of nothing more than gifts like those offered in payment for harlotry, and they shall now be restored to their original status. The Nevi'im often compare the relationship between Bnei Israel and Hashem to that of a husband and wife. Thus, when Bnei Israel serve false gods, they are compared to a married woman who takes a lover. Here, Micha implies that the Northern Empire's so-called allies and the gods they served are only using them, offering the gift of their power as one offers a token to a prostitute and then exploits her. So too, the so-called friends will exploit the Northern Empire. They may offer a modicum of assistance, but eventually they will ravish the empire's resources and leave its citizens destitute. Micha now bemoans the fate of Bnei Israel in its entirety, and describes in great detail the bitter future of the cities in the south. Al zot espida ve'elila, elcha sholal va'arom, e'ese misped katanim, ve'evel kibnot ya'ana, ki anusha makoteha, ki va'a ad Yehuda, naga ad sharami, ad Yerushalayim. Verses 8 and 9, for this shall I lament and eulogize, I will ululate. I shall amble senselessly, staggering and stripped bare. I will keen like the wailing jackal and grieve like the howling owl. For the injuries of Shomron are mortal. Their wounds have spread to the kingdom of Yehuda and have infected the very gates of my people, reaching Yerushalayim itself. Micha compares the sins of Malchut Yisrael and or the consequences of their deeds to an infectious, terminal disease that has spread beyond the nation's borders. One might note that this metaphor takes on new meaning in light of today's pandemic. In the final section of this parak, Micha speaks in great detail of the fate of the kingdom of Yehuda, listing 12 specific cities and what shall happen to them. In the interest of time, I will read only 3 of these psukim. As I read the text, listen for the linguistic devices that I mentioned earlier, especially cadence and consonants, that is, the repetition of certain consonants within the phrases. Verse 10, Pasuk Yud. Begat al tagidu, bacho al tivku, bivet la afra, afar hitpalashi. Do not speak of this tragedy to the people of Gat, a Philistine city. Do not weep. The Navi tells the people not to mention these events to their enemies in Gat, lest the enemy rejoice. As for you, of the city of Afra, roll yourselves in the Afar, the dust. Pasuk Yud Dalet, 14. Lachen titnu shiluchim al moreshet Gat, bateach ziv la'achzav, l'malchei Yisrael. Therefore, send bribes on behalf of moreshet Gat, the city that was Micha's birthplace. The palaces of Malchut Yisrael have betrayed their builders, that is, they will not shelter their owners as the kings had anticipated. And finally, Pasuk Tet Zayin, 16. Harchiv agozi al bnei tanugayach, harchivi korachatech, kaneshel, kigalumimech. Rip out your hair and shave your heads in mourning for your beloved children. Make your head as bald as vultures, for your children will be exiled from you. Thus ends our parak. Hashem's revelation, which had been so glorious at the time of the Exodus from Egypt, will instead bring pain and destruction. All this because of the sins of idolatry and bamot, sins that were propagated by the abandonment of Hashem and the formation of alliances with pagan nations and their false gods. I hope you have enjoyed meeting Micha Hamarashti. Thank you for studying together, Le'ilui Nishmat Malka Estel Batzvi Yosef.